Hello, this is Jerry Pippin, and welcome back to our show. Stan Fulham is our guest on the line from Canada, and Challenges of Change is the name of his book. We have a link to where you can buy that book. It's being offered on the Internet only right now on his website. And when we went to the break, Stan, you mentioned the fact of a UFO demonstration, I guess would be the best term for it, on October 13th. Now, it's well past October 13th now, and there have been quite a few sightings this month, in the month of October, besides the one in Manhattan, as you know. I'll get back to that in a minute, but I just got this report, an email from a listener who said UFO sightings were made on Route 7 and Route 41 near the Pennsylvania-Delaware line. It occurred at 7 o'clock. That's Eastern time. And let me read it. It says, these things had no sound, and they slowly flew by. Quite a few cars pulled off and started looking. Many were taking pictures. Now, you were saying that ETs will begin showing up over major cities and making their presence known gradually to kind of, for better or worse of a term, breaking us into the idea that they exist. All of these things will happen over major populated areas. Now, you predicted October 13th, and there was an event, as I mentioned, in Manhattan on that day. Now, officially, the media is saying that it was a bunch of balloons released by some school children. But you say definitely it was not balloons, right?
Yes. Now, Jerry, on that thing, you see, is that, as I wrote in, and I wrote this in my book about a year ago. Now, that's the thing, and I know my son was quite put out with me about that because he thought I should never mention the date because he says if it doesn't happen on October the 13th, he says you've lost all your credibility. I said yes, but I said I place a great deal of faith in my source, the transcenders, and the transcenders tell me it's a tentative date. And the reason why it's a tentative date because the aliens, like us, have free will and choice. And on that day, the situation on Earth may be so bad because of earthquakes or financial collapse or whatever, that they may determine to postpone until the 15th or the end of the month or November or December. But it will take place. But I decided to go with October 13th in any case. I placed all my eggs in one basket and gambled on that. Now, about 3 weeks ago, Jerry, and I think you're about the first person I'm talking to about this matter. About 3 weeks ago, I was talking to transcenders, and I asked the transcenders, well, is this now still going to take place for the UFO display? And they said yes. But the transcenders, the alien council, decided that their intervention at this time would be just too much over our principal cities. It would be perceived as a threat. So what they will do, they'll focus in on one particular city at this time and do more in the future. But they chose New York City because it's an international city, cosmopolitan center, and because the people there are more blasé, and they're more acceptable to the fact of UFOs, and they won't be overwhelmed by it. And the other thing, it is pretty well the city of the world. So they decided they would do it over New York City. And that is the reason why it was done there. Now, there were other sightings over other cities, San Francisco, and including China. There were quite a number of sightings over China. And I asked the transcenders about that. Was that all part of that UFO display? And they said yes and no. The focus was New York. These other things were other, they were the Pleiadians. No others. It was just the Pleiadians. But they were there on scientific investigation and doing other things. And there's a lot of strange things happened in China, but the government chooses to try and quell all of this information because they feel that they got enough problems without having to deal with this. So, that explains what happened in New York, and there weren't balloons. That's nonsense. And I've been asked about that. Now, Jerry, I want to tell you about this. I've been at this now for about 60 years. And I can remember going way back when I discussed with UFOs and my particular incident with the UFO a sighting during the war and this sort of thing, and I met with nothing but absolute ridicule. And I was reading all the UFO books, and I remember reading a book written by one particular scientist who claimed that it was very likely swamp gas. you maybe remember that, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
They called the swamp gas.
Yeah, I do.
Find that so offensive that, and talking to people who then question my sanity, who you know would point to the Bible and say, haven't you read the good book yet, Stan? Yes, I have. Well, it's all in the good book. There's no such thing as agents out there, this sort of thing. I put up with 60 years of that nonsense, and so I don't want to bother with this anymore. And so when these naysayers, the professional naysayers, come up with, well, it's swamp gas, or in this case here, it's balloons. These balloons lit up by these kids would rise to about 100 or 200 feet. They wouldn't go very high. They're very small, and they would soon disappear. These UFOs were up there maneuvering. They were large, especially like the mothership was very large. And they sat there for about 45 minutes. And they would disappear and reappear. And so in total, there might have been a total of several hundred involved in this matter. And so if that isn't evidence enough, I don't know what is. But don't talk to me about balloons. I tell people, look, don't waste my time. I just refuse to.
Stan, I want to talk about the book a minute. I'm confused. Challenge of Change. You act like it's a new book, but I've seen it before, I think.
The title of the book is Challenges of Change. What is confusing some people is that the second edition I sold through Amazon, but then we ran out of copies, and I was intending to revise it, so I didn't pursue that anymore. But there's still a bit of information there on Amazon, but that's a second edition. And I, of course, we don't have any more copies of that. The third edition is the one I'm talking about now, and it's, especially the latter part, has changed quite a bit. I kept the title, except the edition. Yeah, the thing is that it is, we self-published. Now, some people say, well, that's a mistake. Well, anyway, we'll see. Published, and we handle it here in Winnipeg. Now, they can order through our website, which is sites, S-I-T-E-S, .google.com/site, S-I-T-E, /challenges of change.
I guess for clarity's sake, we should just say that we have a link to it here where the broadcast is on jerrypippin.com. And they can order it through your website. We have a link to it.
So that's the best way. And I also, Jerry, if I may, and we're getting hundreds of emails and hundreds of telephone calls,
okay,
about that.
Okay, Stan, so I understand it. They're going to have this show a force over other cities around the world. Is that right? Especially around North America?
Yes. Well, as I mentioned to you, Jerry, this was the first of the process. And of them intervening and introducing themselves to mankind. They'll become more aggressive in the future. They will appear again very shortly, and I will deal with that in a few weeks' time. I will mention that. I'll make a public announcement about that. In fact, Jerry, I may call you and give you that information in a few weeks' time. And they will appear again over another city or possibly two. And I don't have all the information yet, so I'm waiting to get more information in late November. And because, you see, it's not going to be another year before they appear. They're going to start speeding up the process. Now, they eventually they become more aggressive, and then at one stage, I don't know when yet, when they decided to do this, they may communicate in some fashion. But by the year 2014, they plan, as part of this process, to actually appear before the United Nations. And because they said in 2015 our environmental situation is so bad that they must start cleaning up our atmosphere, otherwise we millions, hundreds of millions of people will die. So by 2015 is their target date, and so they want to be so I asked the transgenders, well, why can't they do this, clean up our atmosphere with their very high technology, and do this in a matter of minutes, maybe. No, they said no. They actually got to come into your third dimension. They got to come in within your atmosphere and use their technology to clean up. And this will take maybe, it could take 200-300 spacecraft to do this with their technology. And it may take as long as 12 months or a little longer to clean up your atmosphere, to get rid of all this poisonous gas, CO, carbon dioxide, and all the other gases that are in there. So this is what they plan to do, and that brings up the question, Jerry, and a spiritual one, a philosophical one as well. So I raise the question, here are these Pleiadians who have lived far longer than we have. In fact, they watched our development over the last several millions of years and guided us and helped us in this in many, many ways. And they've seen countless thousands of other alien civilizations who have polluted themselves to total extinction. I mentioned, like I mentioned to you earlier. Now, it raised the question, doesn't it? Then why are they trying to save mankind? Why are we such an exception? Are we God's special creation? In a way, I suppose maybe we are. Because, and I asked the transcenders about that. I thought I found that very, very strange. And they said, Earth is a very unique planetary system. It has the greatest emotional energies of any planet in the universe. The energies, the emotional energies you have are quite extraordinary. Aliens, a lot of them, like the Bertis, for example, have absolutely no emotions at all. Now, they're brilliant, and they deal with scientific matters of all types. That's all they do all their lives. But they don't enjoy sports. They don't enjoy. And I said, well, do other, don't the other aliens have sports? They said, no, hardly. That's rarely you find any alien with a sports. What about music and painting? Hardly does that exist. The only one closest to us is the Pleiadians, and they have a bit of music with not quite, of course, not similar to ours, but different, but they have some form of music.
I wonder what their music is like. Rock, country?
But the thing is, though, Jerry, is that so they don't have any emotions, but they are fascinated by that. So, for example, they monitor all of our activities on Earth. They monitor our TV. They monitor our radio programs. Who knows? They might be listening to this one. And they have the technology to convert the language, whether it's English or Chinese or Russian or German, whatever it is, into their own language immediately. And to give you some idea, is that there was over 300 billion aliens who watched the Vancouver Olympic, the Olympic Games.
Really?
Over 300 billion are watching the Vancouver Olympics, Winter Olympics.
I wonder how that works, Stan. Do they have a network or something? Maybe we can get on it. The Palladian Radio Network, which you're... Never mind. Go ahead, Stan.
Well, yeah, well, they have spacecraft all around the Earth right now. They're up there. There may be as many as 200, 300 up there. They monitor the Earth. We can't see them because they're in the fourth dimension. But they can pick up all of our communications. And then they transfer that to their own systems and send it back to their planets, which could be millions of light years away. And but the thing is, though, you know, they watch us because they have nothing like it. For example, in our sports, in our football and our hockey, which are very aggressive sports, and they see all these hooting and yelling and screaming and loving and kissing human beings on there. They don't understand it because they have no emotions, but they're fascinated by it. For example, transcenders were telling me that, you know, they were watching the Winter Olympics, and here were these people in almost violent competition with one another, like in boxing and wrestling and this sort of thing. And then they stand on the podium and they hug and they kiss. And they can't understand this. It does not make sense to them. But they are fascinated by it. So we are unique in the world. Now, why are we unique in the world in terms of emotional energies? I don't know. Maybe when I get back, I'm going to ask the transcenders about that in the future. And so another reason why, according to transcenders, there was hope for us. We are quite a spiritual people. And we are going to change. Now, we are experiencing a rise, a change in our spiritual consciousness right now, today. And it is advancing, it will be advancing within the next 10 to 20 years very rapidly. So there will be a major change in our spiritual consciousness. that is what changes the world. That is the end of our old consciousness, the spiritual consciousness. That is what the Mayan prophecies talked about. It's not the end of our physical world. It's the end of our spiritual consciousness and the rebuilding of a new one, which starts to take place. In fact, it is taking place now. But as far as the Mayan prophecies and the end of the world, please relax. It's nothing. It doesn't end. The transcenders will be done. I mean, the aliens, or specifically the Palladians, will be done here every year, every few months, and then it'll appear before the United Nations in 2014. And then they'll work and clean up our planets, and then we get problems. But also, Jerry, I'm disappointed in a way because, you know, there's more to my book than just about UFOs. I deal with a number of other issues like the nuclear threat and hope. Let's just deal with that very briefly.
Stan, what do you know about this? The ET intervention and the nuclear weapons, that story.
Yes. And what has been written and talked about, Robert Hastings wrote about UFO nukes and nukes, which is very, very true. I had that information about 30 years ago. And so I included some of the information. I think we have the time. Just wait. I wrote in the book about the interference, the intervention of the Pleiadians, the aliens, in our missile silo sites in Montana and elsewhere. And also the same thing happened in Russia. And I talked to the transcenders about it, and of course they see all of this, and they tell me exactly what was happening. So they said, the agents that may be in our nuclear arsenal is providing powerful warning of the dangerous impact of the nuclear arms. The following is a brief summary of that dialogue. I said to the transcenders, there are more military and government officials retired who are speaking out about their experiences with ubiquitous conspiracy of silence on the UFO alien phenomena. Recently, a USAF officer retired spoke publicly in which they reported that on May 16, 1967, UFOs hovered over their 490th Strategic Missile Squadron, and Robert Hastings all wrote about that. My own personal contacts with a senior NORAD intelligence officer about 30 years ago confirmed what Robert Hastings had reported. Now, NORAD had done a thorough investigation of the alien nuclear missile incidents because they perceived them to be a serious threat to continental defense, which was NORAD's mandate. And finally, the transcenders confirmed the reality of NORAD and Hastings' reports. Another squadron reported 10 missiles shot down by the UFOs. There were other reports that alien spacecraft neutralized Minuteman missiles in flight. Two more nuclear rockets were also destroyed in flight. And in other cases, nuclear-armed satellites have simply disappeared. That's right, just disappeared. Now, obviously, this is an extremely important alien disruption of our nuclear arsenal. So what is your comment about this important event, I asked the transcenders. They said that there's the Palladians involved here, and basically their message is a serious warning to mankind of the tremendous damage that could result from this nuclear activity. You don't go and set off nuclear warheads in space without having a ripple effect. Basically, they are saying don't do that without actually stopping them from sending the missiles up there. You just stop them from the potential consequences. Also, it will remind mankind that you are not alone in reality, and think twice about potentially what they may do with those missiles. You may think that you have all those safeguards, and you think that you can control this and that. However, there are always ways of getting into the system. So from the events, the military performed a whole series of security measures that made the whole concept of the metals and guidance systems and the initiating processes much more secure. It actually inserted a paranoia into the military. So they took stronger steps to maintain a stronger sense of security and control over the missiles, and thereby alleviating the probability of a nuclear incident. So I asked the transcendent, did the Palladians also interact with the Russians' missiles, and was their interaction effective? And this is what they reported to me. Indeed, the electrical system down through the launching systems were infiltrated. Lights flashed on and off repeatedly, and in some instances the launching control panels lit up as the countdown was activated. A very frightening situation for the Russian military, since they had no means of stopping the electrical interruptions. The launching room staff watched in horror as the launching lights flashed on numbers steadily from 30, 29, 28, 27 to almost zero, At that critical moment, the light stopped flashing and the system returned to standby. I said, well, Transcendent, that must have been a very terrifying experience for the Russians, since they have been thought that somebody at the highest level in Moscow was starting a nuclear war against the United States, which really nobody wanted, and there was nothing they could do to stop it. What absolute horror. And the Transcender said, yes, but what the aliens were basically were teaching the Americans and the Russians, that if we can do this, the terrorists could do it. So you better refine your security systems. And since then, of course, they have. And now it's pretty well secure.
Stan, thanks for reading that. That's right out of your book. Talking about the ETs and nuclear weapons, how do they really feel about that? About nuclear weapons?
Yeah, well, one of the things right now, Jerry, I'm concerned about, and I write about in my book, is that I know a lot, because nothing is hidden from the Transcender. They see everything that's going on. And they tell me about these very strange and interesting things happen in the caves, the Himalayan and Al-Qaeda caves. They have developed a dirty nuclear bomb, and they have weapons of mass destruction. Now, they have hundreds of scientists and technical staff from all over the world working there, have been working there for years. They are highly paid. They got a lot of money. So, but there's a conflict that's developed between these people. We have the jihadists. They're under the control of al-Zawahiri. And there was only about 25 to 30 of these jihadists, these diehards, who were quite prepared to die for their beliefs. But the scientists are quite secular people, and the technical staff, and there's several hundred of them, I think about 1,200 of them, and they don't want to die. So there's that conflict now that goes on there. And they know, as the Americans are approaching their caves, that ultimately that day of reckoning will arrive. Now, they have that bomb. And the principal enemy is Israel. Why don't they drop it on Israel? That is a very interesting moral question they have. Then al-Zawahiri and his jihadists have considered that, and they thought, well, the bomb is so devastating, if they dropped it on Israel, it will also kill hundreds of thousands of Muslims. Would Allah approve of that? So they have this problem, a moral problem, you can call it the containment of collateral damage, so to speak. And so they're holding off. But what they may do as the Americans approach is that they may explode the bomb amongst American troops in desperation, and they have weapons of mass destruction. What I'm suggesting, Jerry, and I do hope that you'll get people to think about this and talk about it, it is time for the American government to offer a general amnesty to al-Qaeda. Because I told you about the moral philosophical problems that's generated right now in the caves. This is the time to do it. And offer them, to remove them from the cave, provide them to hand over the bomb and their weapons of mass destruction, and relocate them to any land that they so choose under a United Nations administration, to divorce themselves from all al-Qaeda activities and all that stuff. They'll have to be conditions, but they should do so. But the Transcenders warned me there's little time left. So we should deal with that. But that's one thing, and there are
others. So, Stan, I take it you had more reasons to write the book than just UFOs.
Oh, well, of course, and that was one of the other one was the financial and the economic collapse of the United States and the world.
And you feel this financial collapse is imminent?
It's very imminent, yes. And when it happens, it could happen, not necessarily in the United States, it could happen in Greece, it could happen elsewhere, but then there's a domino effect, and the world soon collapse. And the Transcenders see that, but they see the future. And we are under 15 to 20 years of total financial and economic confusion and massive problems of all kinds. And what they're saying is that it doesn't have to be. All you got to do, there's a solution to it, and it will come eventually, is to accept a trade dollar, the international trade dollar. So all trade at the international level is done through this international trade dollar. Now, every nation can keep its own national currencies. But any international trade is on that level. But in order to get to that level, you have first got to get rid of all these massive foreign debts we have. And they're saying the way what we're going to do right now is for all nations to devalue their currencies down to 10% of current value. And so who would be the greatest benefactor of this? It would probably be the United States, because the United States owes trillions of dollars. Well, maybe so, but the thing is, the United States is the economic engine of the world, and unless the engine, unless that engine gets back into operation, then there's going to be absolute chaos.
Stan, I'm afraid the clock has us, so we're about out of time. I would urge people to pick up your book and read it. Order it from your website. I mean, it has everything in there besides UFOs. You got a lot of good financial advice, some world political advice, and even cover terrorism. Sounds like a good book.
Yes, yes, indeed. And that's one thing I wish people like yourself, and I don't rely upon the public, I don't rely upon the politicians, it's people like you, Bill Burns, and all these people and who are going to bring this whole issue to a head, and it's got to be done soon. And I thank you very, very much, Jerry.
Stan Fulham has been our guest. The book is Challenges of Change. It's available from his website. We have a link to that at jerrypippin.com. Thanks, Stan, and thanks, everyone, for listening. I'm Jerry Pippin.